Christmas feeling. It's all building up to something amazing. The baby is born, and now the deaf mute is speaking. And what does he do? He praises God, and now we've got to the sermon. So all the rest was just the kind of introduction to the best bit, the sermon, from this man who used to be deaf and dumb. Zechariah's prophecy. I'm just going to read this to you, and I'm going to highlight one or two things for you. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He's been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant with them, the covenant he gave to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness forever. And then he speaks, really blessing John, his son. He says, "You, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace." So there's the sermon from the man who was deaf and dumb, and it falls into two parts. In the first part, he's focusing upon God's faithfulness to Israel, the way that he has kept his promise to Abraham. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He has visited his people and redeemed them. But you can see from what Zechariah is saying that he has an idea of redemption that goes beyond just national deliverance from the Romans. He says he has redeemed them. He sent us a mighty Savior. And what is a Savior going to enable us to do? He's going to enable us to serve God without fear in holiness and in righteousness forever. So he's looking to this kind of deliverance, not just from oppression by Roman conquerors who came and went, but oppression from the bondage of sin. And he goes on to develop this in the second part. And the second part I want to focus on here, verse 76 to the end, because here he's giving an amazing description both of the ministry of his son, John the Baptist, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the one who was coming. He says, "You, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will prepare the way for the Lord." And listen to this. "You will tell his people how to find," that great word, "salvation." And this is the message of Christmas in one word. I know it's nice, you know, that there's sometimes a family element to it. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes Christmas is a very depressing time for people because they remember those who once were around the Christmas table, they're no longer there anymore, and so on and so on. So it's not always a time of happiness and festivity, but it is always a time when we remember again that the core of the message of Christianity is salvation. That is what the angel said to Joseph when he appeared in a dream. "You will call his name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And the angels came down and appeared to the shepherds. He said, "What's born? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the ministry of John the Baptist is to tell his people how to find salvation. And that is what the Christmas message is all about. It is God's salvation come down to men and women. And how does that salvation come? Well, it comes through the forgiveness of sins. And this is the core of the Christmas message. I just love this. And we need to remind ourselves every Christmas time that the real excitement of Christmas is that God forgives sins. And we don't appreciate what Christmas is about sometimes because we don't really appreciate the awfulness of sin. God is holy. God cannot live with sin. He cannot look upon sin. And yet, the amazing thing about Christmas is that God has sent his son to deal with the sin problem, tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And why has he done this? It's because of God's tender mercy. So what is it? Salvation. How does it come? The forgiveness of sins. Why does it come? It's because of God's tender mercy. I love that expression that they've put here in the NLT. It reminds me of the opening words of Psalm 51 as it's given in the old King James Version, where David is praying for the forgiveness of sins, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." There's David, 1000 BC, recognizes that in the heart of God, there is, it's not just mercy. It's not even just tender mercy. It's as David describes in Psalm 51, it's a multitude. And what does that mean? It's a vast array. There's a company that's greater than we can number of God's mercies. And this is the excitement of Christmas. It's that God has sent his Son to be our Savior because of his tender mercy.